February 20th, 2011. Srimad Mahabhava Mandir, Israel, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 31, Disappearance of Lord Krishna, will read from 1 through 5, and then we'll chant Sanskrit together. Sarvasa Stati Piyusha Sarva Vedeka Satvala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokeka Kripada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavatam Prabho Kali Dvanto Rita Aditya Shri Krishna Parivartata Paramananda Pataya Brahma Varshaksharayate Sarvata Sarvi Sevya Shri Krishna Namaste Madhika Bandhavan Sangin Madgurur Madmahadana Madnistaraka madbhagya madananda namostute Asadu sadu tadhyayan atina chuchataraka Ahaman shagadachanamam pramna hrutkantaya sura Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Om
namo bhagavate vasudevaya Disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna. This chapter describes the return of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the world along with all the others. Upon learning from Dwaraka that Lord Sri Krishna had returned to his abode, Vasudeva and all the others remaining in Dwaraka became very much agitated by levitation and went out from the city to find him. All the demigods who, in pursuance of the desire of Lord Krishna, had taken birth in the outer dynasty to render assistance in his pastimes, follow Lord Krishna and return to their respective abodes. The Lord's activities of creating a life for himself and then dismantling it are simply tricks of Maya, like an actor's performance. Actually, he creates the entire universe and then enters within it as the super soul. In the end, he again winds up the entire universe within himself and, remaining in his private glory, desists from external pastimes. Although overcome by feelings of separation from Krishna, Arjuna was nevertheless able to pacify himself by remembering all the various instructions given to him by the Lord. Arjuna then carried out the rituals of Avatara and so on for his dead relatives. At that time, the ocean swallowed up all of Dwaraka Puri except for the Lord's own residence. Arjuna took the remaining members of the Yadu dynasty to Indraprastha, where installed Vajra upon the throne. Hearing of these events, the Pandavas led by Yudhisthira placed Parikshit on their throne and left for the great journey. Text number 1. Vishukhu Bhaksha Atha Tatra Gamad Brahma Bhavananya Chasambhava Mahendra Ramukha Deva Munaya Sa Prajeshwara. Translation by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, then Lord Brahma arrived at Prabhas along with Lord Shiva and his consort, the sages, the Prajapatis, and all the demigods headed by Indra. Big deal. If all the demigods came there, it's a big deal. They wouldn't come normally, otherwise. Actually, it's described that the demigods will not even come to this planet to pass urine. Place is so condemned. Yet they will enter, they will come to take part in the Sankirtan mission by taking birth in the families of devotees. So it behooves everyone to try to help the next generation become devotees. The reality is most jivas are not good devotees, and the children of devotees are no exception to that. It was interesting. If you talk about 8th Canto, chapter 22, verse 9, Bali Maharaj, when he was arrested by the ropes of Varuna, after giving the whole universe with 2 steps to Vaman, and Vamandev said, "You promised me 3 steps. Where's the 3rd step?" So it was a test of his devotional mood. So they arrested him and tied him up. "You're untruthful. You haven't given your 3rd step. You haven't given your promise." No, he said, the owner of the wealth is stronger, is better than the wealth. So you can put your foot on my head. I have not. Then he quoted this verse, which is basically the Siddhanta, boiled down intellectual conclusions given by his grandfather. So the first shloka is, first line is cool. What is the use of this body that leaves its owner at the time of death? So basically, although we're attached to this stupid body, ultimately we have to become more attached to Krishna than any of our distractions in the material world. Because everyone is an Ayaram, Gayaram, an Ayarani, Gayarani. It's a question of time. We have to leave this body, so we should be ready. With no regrets. Sometimes it's said that the older generation, we're talking about grandmothers, grandfathers, we're talking about somebody that's 80, 90 years old, when they look at their grandchildren and see the degradation in the age of Kali, in the moral deficiency and moral principles and determination of work, elevation of character, etc. You know, the expensive nature of living in the material world. When they see all this degradation, they leave the world with no regrets. Like that. But a devotee, because the body can leave at any time, the devotee should become very attached to Krishna, more so than their distractions, when they're happy. If they're asked to leave, it's like interesting, when my Gurudev, he was on the boat in Jaladuta, and he writes in his poetry, "If today the opportunity came to meet you, I would be surely ready to do so." He had suffered two strokes, two heart attacks on the boat, and he was worried about a third that would be fatal. And he wrote in his Bengali poem that if today the opportunity came to meet you, I would be surely ready to do so. When you look at that, you look at yourself in the mirror. Are we ready to do that? Gurudev is ready to do that, but are we ready to do that? Because you judge the spiritual master according to the disciples he keeps. So we should all be ready at any time. We do our duty. We do our dharma. We try to execute our devotional activities and our domestic duties very correctly. But with detachment, everyone is gone. It's a question of when. You know? And if today we have to go, no biggie. We'll just leave. Dhruva Maharaj did it. He stepped on the head of death. And the fourth canto mentions he stepped on the head of death and ended up in mom. He had no regrets. He had a wife and two kids. And, you know, alright, let's take it that in Satya Yuga they lived 100,000 years. They said like that. And in Kali Yuga, we're lucky if we live 100. So, knock off three zeros. If you knock off three zeros, then it means Dhruva left his body at a young age of about 36. Pretty young for a king. And he had a wife and two young kids. But he had no regrets. And he entered into the Pushpavamana, and he was thinking about his mother. His mother came in another Pushpavamana, and they went. It's amazing. There's no regret. No regret at all. So a Vaishnavi has a very bright future. Even in the worst case scenario, suppose they're not so Krishna conscious, right? Let's just say. Then, where did they go? Well, wherever they went, it's better than here. wherever they took birth before. That's at least a Vaishnava. Vaishnavi's life must be much brighter than that. You know? So there was never any loss of the, and the best scenario is that the Lord stole them and took them back to his abode. Anichyata me gatim anvim prayukte. It states in the Sanskrit of third canto, chapter 25, verse number 36. Even if the devotee's anicca, even if he has no desire. Why? Well, there could be some embarrassment. Maybe I didn't give enough. Maybe I don't deserve it. Anicca. Some feeling of unqualification. Megatim anvim prayokte. Kapilade says very easily. Hatatmana, the heart is stolen. Hrita pranas. This is our business. To make sure that our heart is stolen and our mind is stolen.
then the rest is up to them, where they want us to go. Our Ishtadeva, or not, where they want. And if they do that, then no biggie. And the same thing about, you know, about your family members, everything, you offer everything to Krishna as much as possible. And who does their dharma good? You know, there's never enough money, there's never enough thing, and you're never. Are you happy with your spouse? Never, you know. Is anybody happy with his spouse? Well, you know, it's my karma, you know, I had to go through with it, you know. But you're never happy. If you help your spouse get the Krishna Gauranga that they want, then they say, yeah, well, I'm blessed, you know. After all, it could be worse. You're blessed. Our business is to find the nectar that we want. The nectar should push us forward towards our relationship with Krishna. And if you can't find the nectar that sustains you, forget your spouse. If you can't help your spouse find the nectar that sustains them, forget your kids. If you can't help your kids by empowerment, avoid their distractions and find the nectar that sustains them, forget your community. And if you can't help your community, then what are you? You're supposed to be grihasthas, or grihamedis? What are we? We're supposed to help the community. This means we have to set a good example. And that means we have to find something, really, solid in our life. And then that will help us. Set a good example that there is some nectar out there that we all deserve. We just have to conquer our distractions a lot more than our nectar is. So it's interesting. So if all the demigods came, it's a big deal. Okay, that's the basically of this. And it's understood. They didn't need any commentary. It's a big deal. They've all came. It's a big event. Okay. Prata sada gandharva, pitara sada gandharva, vidyadara manoraga, charana yaksharakshamsi, kinara saraso dvijay, drashtakama bhagavato niryanam paramosukha, gayantascha granantascha, sore karmani dhammacha. Translation by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. The forefathers, the siddhas, the gandharvas, the vidyadharas, the great serpents also came along with the charanas, yakshas, rakshasas, kanaras, apsaras, relatives of Garuda, greatly eager to witness the departure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As they were coming, all three personalities variously chanted and glorified the birth and activities of Lord Shori, Krishna. That's part. Reminds me of like the Surya Graha. 1987, oh something. I remember there was a Surya Graha in Kurukshetra and a solar eclipse. And, you know, everybody and his brother went there. It was a big event in India, you know. So in Bombay, we all trucked there. We went there. And we stayed there in the house, bungalow of a former Prime Minister of India, Gulzari Lal Nanda, who had some bungalow there, you know, on and the site. And, you know, given to him by his cronies or gados, you know. So we were there. And I remember it was like there were 3-4 lakhs of people at this festival. And the government of Haryana was not at all ready to receive such a huge influx of people. As usual, you know, right? So people were passing all over the place, you know, and they were it was Ganda, Ganda, Mahaganda, everywhere, you know, just dirty, filthy, stinky, you know, everywhere, you know. And I remember during the Graha itself, you're not supposed to eat, you know, you're not supposed to, the deity should be closed. Pushti Marga, they don't, because Krishna is transcendental. But, you know, the puja can go on, but it should be under closed doors during an eclipse. Yeah, and you're not supposed to eat. And you're not supposed to sleep during that time. And like that. And arati is done behind closed doors, but you're not supposed to cook anything. Yeah, like that. Because during the, it's inauspicious when Rahu is chewing. When Rahu is chewing the sun god or the moon god, it's inauspicious, it's Ashubh. You're supposed to wait for the Graha to lift. Then you open the deity temple doors and all that. You know? You can see Krishna, but you shouldn't worship him. Everything should be stopped. That's it. That's the rule. Everything, RTs, everything is stopped. But you can see Krishna. Sure. And you should only chant the holy name. So we were up on the rope chanting our japa during the Graha. And we saw these guys, they had big stacks of 5 rupee notes in there. They were just laying on everybody. And all these professional beggars were there with heaps of grains, you know, walking away, you know, like this and stuff, you know. Heaps of poa, heaps of grains and stuff. They're all professionals, you know. Professional beggars, you know. They're just, where were they off to? Probably to the next festival somewhere, you know. You know? Professional beggars, you know. And after, the same thing happens, like, on the road of Govardhan. You know, from Dangati to Aryaskon temple, there's a row of professional beggars. And they're there 4 days, you know, from Akadasi to Purnima, they're there. And after Purnima, they're gone. If you want a peaceful time to do parikrama, don't do it between Akadasi and Purnima. The professional beggars are there, and you can't get any peace and stuff. If you want any peace, do go over done parikrama some of the time. Or go down to Mukharavan temple and do parikrama around the deities. Or do parikrama around Govardhan Shilas. Or do parikrama around the tongue of Govardhan. You know, it's easier and less headache. And nicer. You do your side of it. So you're chanting. So we were chanting our japa. We're reading that in the Surya Graha. So that festival in Kurukshetra reminded me of this. That when Krishna's departure, then everybody and his brother and sister, anybody that had any insight to the news, anybody that were inside of the news, they came. Evidently, the demigods, they have a festival site. You know, I wish ISKCON had it together. That had a festival site that where everybody could dump their festival dates. You know, like it, you could go to dandavas.com and find your, you know, and just dump your dates on the festival whenever your festival happens. You know, don't expect ISKCON to be organized. Come on, you know, it's just not going to happen. You know, it's just, well, we're hoping for the best. Strive for the best and tolerate the rest, you know? That's the reality. You know, it would be nice. Just like I was shocked. You know, when I was in Wellington and I found out about your wonderful Ratha Yatra, and I go, nobody said nothing to me. You know, neither my ticket booker, you know, neither did I, and we forgot all about you. Yeah, you know, thanks a lot. You know, and you know, and I would have come, sure, but I would have known, you know. But nobody told me. Somebody, anybody, or nobody. Somebody could have told me. Anybody could have told me, but nobody told me. You know. Do they have a ISKCON worldwide festival site? User pays. You just simply dump your festival there. When your festival date becomes clear, dump it there. You know, for a donation to support the website, like that. And then everybody and his brother would know. ISKCON Melbourne's having a Ratha Yatra. Wham, wham. You know, like this. It could happen. Why not? That would be a great idea. You know? But, you know, when I discussed it with those guys years about 4 or 5 months ago, they said, who will pay for the website hosting? Blah, blah, blah. Get some money to host it. And then afterwards, it's user pays. You know? That's all. You know? You're going to put a date. You have to chip in to the website. And then everybody and his brother, you get free advertising. Here it is. Everybody and his brother finds out about your festival. Lovely, you know. We should know as much as possible, 6 to 8 months in advance, then we can book plane tickets to come. It would be really good. So, evidently, the demigods, Apsaras, Gandharvas, Kinaras, everybody else, evidently they were in and they were privy to the info, you know, so they found out, hey, something's happening. Krishna's leaving, you know. So let's go check it out. You know? They all came. Evidently, they were on the privy list, you know, of who's going to find out what's happening where, you know. It was the in thing, so they showed up, you know. And they all glorified the birth and activities of Lord Shori, because that's all we've got, is the birth and activities of Lord Shori. If we chant that, then we'll always be with Krishna. Krishna will never leave us. He's there in his glories. And these demigods, they know that. Well, Krishna's leaving his manifestation, but he's there, always present in his glories. Therefore, they were smart. They were chanting the glories of his birth activities. Now, coming up is Gaur Purnima. Okay? You want to know the fun? The fun is Adi Leela chapter 13, verses number 33 through 124. And from 97 becomes Tripadi. Singing stuff. Tripadi. And the benediction verse is at 122. That Lord Gauranga is very pleased with somebody who chants the glories of his birth. He awards them shade of his lotus feet. When I looked at that, I thought, hey, wait a minute. That's what we're here for, nah? We're here to get that. If you just memorize and sing the glories of Lord Gauranga's appearance, then he'll award you the shade of his lotus feet. Hey, wait a minute. That's what we're here for, no? We gotta have some schmatz, you know? You know, if you want something good, you better get some schmatz to be able to get it, you know? And that one is, and Lord Gaura's festival is coming soon, right? So therefore, we should hear and chant and memorize that. Man. And then when you hear and chant and memorize that, you'll get Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Hey, wait a minute. That's what we're here for. So it's good. Vavrshu pushmaparsani vimana valadiranava kurvanta sankulam rajan bhaktya paramaya yuta. O king, crowding the sky with their many airplanes, they showered down flowers with great devotion. Today's verse.
Bhagavan pitamam viksha vibhuti ramano vibhu samyojamani chatmana padmanetre yamilaya.
Synonyms: Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead; Pitamaham, Lord Brahma; Viksha, see; Vibhutihi, powerful expansions; the demigods; Atmanaha, his own; Vibhu, the Almighty Lord; Samyojya, fixing; Atmani, in himself; Cha, and Atmanam, his consciousness; Padmanetre, his lotus eyes; Yamilyat, closed. Translation and purport for the servants of his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Seeing before him Brahma, the grandfather of the universe, along with the other demigods, who are all his personal and powerful expansions, the Almighty Lord closed his lotus eyes, fixing his mind within himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, Lord Krishna had previously answered the prayers of Lord Brahma and the other demigods, who requested the Lord to descend within this universe for the protection of his servants, the demigods. Now the demigods arrived before the Lord, each one desiring to take the Lord to his own planet. To avoid these innumerable social obligations, the Lord closed his eyes as they were absorbed in samadhi. Srila Jiva Goswami adds that Lord Krishna closed his eyes to instruct the yogis how to leave this mortal world without attachment to one's mystic opulences. All the demigods, including Brahma, are mystic expansions of Lord Krishna. Yet the Lord closed his eyes to emphasize that one should fix his mind on the Supreme Personality of God when departing from this world. Vrindavane ramanareyati prasadibhumo tatrapi krishna balarama supadamule jnanam padam padamai krishna sutarma chuktam dandastu deva prabhupada namo namaste. Samasara dukkha jaladau paditasya kama krodari nakramakulai kavali kutasya turvashana negaritasya nalasrayasya chaitanya chandra mamadehe padavalambam jaladara shashivar no Kopavesha Kishoro Sahachara Ganavrandai Kridamana Vrajesho Natabara Jitavesho Nilapitam Bharadyo Chagatacharanehito Rama Krishna Tosmi Vanchakupaturubhish Chakripa Sandibhavacha Pritanam Pavanebhyo Vishnadebhyo Namo Namo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All the demigods wanted, "Why don't you come to visit me?" But Krishna was not interested. So he closed his eyes to avoid the embarrassment of having to tell him no. He just closed his eyes. He also closed his eyes to teach us something internal. Now, departing. There was a nice story I heard from one devotee who lives in Radhakund area. He told me that there was a Vaishnava who was known as Dadu, and he left his body, I think a year ago or so, in Nandagaon at the age of 112. And that fellow was a very fast walker. On Purnima day, he would regularly walk about 95 kilometers, which is from, let's, all right, let's do the math. Okay, from Nandagaon to Varshanam, 10 kilometers, let's say. 10, 12 kilometers, let's say. 12. Okay, let's say 12. 12 times 2, 24. Okay, from Varshanam to Govardhan, 25, roughly. Add another 50. Okay, so you're talking about 74. Okay? Then go around Govardhan, add 22. Okay? So 74, 22, we're talking about 94. Like that. And he would come, he would, this is 2 weeks before he left his body. He would come and hang out with his Brahmin friends in Mukherjee near Radhakund, and then do a whole Govardhan Parikrama, come back, yak with his friends, and walk back to Nandagaon. And then 2 weeks later, he's reading Bhagavatam in the afternoon, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he leans back in his bolster and leaves. Absorbed in Bhagavatam. This is actually what probably an elderly person should do. You know, we should set a good example for our grandchildren, how to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and just throw everything, you know, and without any regrets, and meditate on the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's called real vision. There was a godbrother, a devotee, who had some terminal disease or something, and they were wheelchair bound, and they would bring the wheelchair of that Vaishnava in the temple room in Vancouver. I was told this story. And that Vaishnava would just sit there, look at the lordships and cry. They're unable to see the lordships because they had some blindness or something like that. But by remembrance of the beauty of the Supreme Personality of God and activities, you're seeing inside the eyes. You're seeing inside the heart. That's the real vision. And our feeling. So it's a question of greed. The more we develop greed for the Supreme Personality of God, the more Krishna comes. This is stated in First Canto, Chapter 6, Verse 33, that if a devotee calls the holy name of the Lord comes running on those names as if he called him to come. And Tulsi Rani is the same. You think of her, she comes, you know, like that. And then you feel so pacified that the Lord never left you. And that is really the big thing about it. In this material world, you can never be guaranteed of anything. The only guarantee is taxes, death, and lost data. Now, these things are guaranteed. Right? So, you can't be guaranteed in this world. And relationships in this world are only good if they will push us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is, then it is a good relationship. We are blessed. If somebody is a friend who pushes us to the Supreme Friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they become a friend. They become a blessing. So it's our duty to help our fellow friends get that nectar of our relationship with Krishna. We call it Vishesha Avratapan, drinking specific nectar that is really suitable for the individual. That's important. And that becomes a priority. Of course you've got your domestic stuff that's pulling you. But ultimately, one devotee was asking me, well, how do you do it? He said, you follow how your grandmothers and everybody else, they thought of Krishna anyway. Sure, they had 8 kids, 10 kids, you know, your grandparents. And they didn't flinch, you know, they did whatever mothers, whatever fathers have to do. You know, when kids are there, right? You've got to take care of them. And the elder siblings took care of the younger siblings, and that's there. You can delegate it, you know, that happens. Like, sometimes you can't delegate it, you got to deal with it, but still, we thought of Krishna anyway. I was asking one of my god sisters, I have a disciple that's second kids in the oven. And the first kid is like really wild, because all kids are wild, you know, and they're having difficulty chanting. My sannyas guru goes, you know, after some years, if they're sincere, they'll get back to their chanting. Yeah, But I asked my god sister, she's a big Bhagavatam scholar, what is your opinion?
I had my child when I was 40, she said. Dangerous time to have a kid.
And I had to breastfeed him every hour on the hour.
That's tough.
And I was selling books in the bookstall anyway. And by the evening, I finished all my rounds anyway. I was chanting anyway. Even when I was breastfeeding my child, I was chanting. My opinion, she said, is a lady should chant anyway. Otherwise, if they give up the chanting, it'll be very difficult to take it up again. It has to become a priority. Priority means what is considered normal has to be done. We have to upgrade our definition of what is normal. You know, institutionally, what is normal is 16 rounds, 4 regular principles. It's like acceptable. You know? But the reality is, true, say, people are not talking about it. But, you know, I chant a few rounds and all like that. And the same thing with our kids. One Mataji, one god sister, she's in her mid-60s. She goes, come on, you think my kids are Krishna conscious? They chant 1 or 2 rounds. You know what? I meditated in my entire household life. I just got to think it's a waste of time. And I go, but that, Ma, that's a really heavy statement to say. And he goes, well, it was my karma. I had to live with it, but, you know. She dismissed it like that. It's my karma. I had to live with it, but it's what I thought. Very interesting. Very interesting stuff. We have to be determined to do our duty. At the same time, we have to have a strong dose of virakti. And our strong dose of virakti, detachment, is only going to be as powerful as our attachment for Lord Krishna is. And the principles of devotion is. So that which sustains you, that's your sadhana. Sadhana iti sadhana. Your spiritual practices is what sustains you. And you're not going to give that up. Even if you're ready to give up your life, you give up your sadhana. That's what it is. That's what it has to be. You know? You have to be really, really absorbed that way. And if we're absorbed in that way, we'll be happy. More happy. So it's upgradable. Whatever we think is normal. Just ask your grandparents if you think that's normal. You know? If they think that's normal. And they'll give you a whole other definition in their generation what was considered to be acceptable. And you start thinking, wait a minute, I've got to open my eyes a little bit more to what is acceptable. Now it's interesting here, Krishna closed his eyes to avoid the unpleasantness of having to refuse some demigods who were inviting him to come. And also that one should internally contemplate the absolute truth. Balaram had already left, same. He's Kamapala, the protector of transcendental desires. His role was done. He left early. It's interesting. Some avatars, the Lord leaves first. Like Gauranga, he left first, and Nityananda did it afterwards. Advaita Acharya was the one who called him to come. Advaita Acharya was 50 years old when Gauranga came. And Gauranga stayed for 48 years, manifest pastimes. Then when he left, then Advaita Acharya lived for another 27 years more. To set the example. And Nittai, I didn't get the bottom line how long Nittai lived, but he did definitely live longer. He definitely lived longer than Gauranga lived. It means Gauranga wanted to do so much more to them, too. Through Advaita and through Nityananda. He wanted so much more for them to do more. Gauranga even said that Nittai can deliver more people than even I can do. You know, like that. He said Nityananda was a very expert, very compassionate. So it's a very interesting thing. So if you're meditating on the nectar that sustains you, then when death comes, you can meditate on that nectar. And that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then throw the body with no regrets. Not like this. So Krishna was setting that example, teaching us by example how to do like that. Is there any questions? Can I serve the devotees now? That'd be nice. We've got some time to serve them. Yes, Prabhuji.
Conscious when you get upset on the way there, you can think about it.
when you come to visit the deity, you should bring a gift. You should bring a flower. You should bring a fruit. Yeah. But the thing about it is, aside from what you're giving Krishna, because Krishna's only not interested in what you're giving him. He wants what's behind your back. Whatever you give him, he says, man, thanks a lot. Can you do a little more? And everything you give, we go, yeah, that's nice. Thank you very much. Can you do a little more? You know? No matter what you give him, yeah, that's good. Can you do a little more? You know? No, it's nice. So, if you're thinking about what you're going to do for their lordships or what you're going to give their lordships, that's also thinking of them. But afterwards, you should take their beautiful forms and their names and hold it in the heart. And if they're pleased with your offering, then they'll help you remember them throughout the day. If the lordships are pleased with your offering to them, their love, it's not the dravya, it's the love. It's not the idol, it's the love. If the Lord is pleased with your attitude, then they'll help you remember them throughout the day. That means Krishna never leaves you. That's smart. That's what darshan of deities is that they're supposed to carry the deities with them and they're all the time. Tara darshani abhayavayarudara. This is the third canto, chapter 25, verse 36. Upon seeing my form so magnificent, vayavar udara, vilasa hasekshita, seeing my pastime smile, vamasuktai, and my right wing favorable speech. This means you really got to be a good devotee. You're going to hear Krishna. Right wing, favorable speech. Pratatmana, the heart is stolen. Pratapranana, the life they're stolen. Chabakti, they're absorbed in devotion. Anichita, even if they're too shy. Even if they have no desire, they're too shy. Megatim and Vimprayukte, very easily they can attain it. So the whole idea is to love their lordships in such nice ways that they'll never leave you. When you chant their names, they come running. And we have to do stuff like, you know, put them to rest. But they're never gone. They're there with their... And they come and wake you up in the morning. Wake up, stupid. You have to take a bath and you have to serve me. You know? Happens all the time to their pujaris, you know. One pujari, Rohita, Tulsi Rani Pujari in Vancouver. And he's a coward boy. He's like, you know, 60-ish. I go, do you chant any stutis or stavas to Rani when you serve her? I'm not a big intellectual. I do some practical stuff. She puts me to work. You know? And sometimes, in the middle of the winter, one of her, she has a construction heater that blows, that has a fan that keeps her, they have like three or four of them in there. And she woke him up one night. She said, take a bath. Come and see me. He said, one of my heaters are not working. You know? Put him to work, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. Boom, 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 you know. Rani comes in your dream. Take a bath. One of my heaters is not working. You have to fix it. You know? Put him to work, you know. This is real reciprocation. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his consort puts you to work, you know. That's great. And they'll call you at any time they like, you know. And if you're missing out, then they'll wake you up. Come on. It's like funny story. It's called a Dinswapna, right? Dinswapna or Ratka Swapna. Whether it's a night dream or a day dream, the Lord will come. They have their kindness. This is their sweetness of them, of making relationship with them, by trying to love them. The Lord never gives up his servant. So, just like story. When Pichima was serving Murari Gupta's Gornatai in Bengal as a young zamindari girl, you know, this must be like 18, 20, something like that. So she was cooking for Gornatai and her period started. She felt the blood coming, said, I'm contaminated now. So she stepped out of the kitchen. And Gornatai came an hour later. Ma, where's our offering? No? Well, I'm contaminated now. You do what other mothers do for their children. Your business is to do this. Now go take a bath. And her blood stopped. And it just started. She got shook. She went and took a bath, changed her cloth. She never had a period the rest of her life. That's extraordinary. So, your business is to feed us. You're our mother. Your business is to feed us. take a bath. We'll not have that problem again. One attack told her. So that's it. So one devotee was asking me recently, can they do that? Some people say yes, some people say no. And I said, in the old days, we were preaching. Preaching that you ask your friends to cook, or your husband cooks, or in worst case scenario, the girl could do it, but that's like, you know, one out of a million, you know. Probably better that you eat fruits. Eat fruits. Why? He said, because contamination is in the mind of the person. If the body's contaminated, the offering becomes contaminated. The atmosphere becomes contaminated. So contamination is in the mentality. This is why the pujari sprinkles water on the offering to purify the offering in case there was something mentally wrong. Like that. I said, tell them that if they're paramahamsis, if they're actually pure, then Krishna will reciprocate with them and destroy their period. And if they're not, well, their husband has to do it. Or their friend's got to do it. Or someone else has got to do it. Or you got to eat fruits. You know? Our business is to go back to our service and not worry about it. I have a friend, Garud Achar, must be in his 80s now in Bangalore. He translated the Bhagavad Gita from English to Kannada. And he told me, when my daughters are sick and they're off the altar, I have to do it. I just do everything. It's just the Indian culture. The men do the puja, the men do the cooking, the men have to do it. You know? Or, you know, their friends, some girlfriend or somebody like that, it's not contaminated. They have to do it. This is Indian culture, you know, and we should stick to that. You know, that's proper cleanliness. Now, if Gornatai is attached to the particular bhakti, or the Lord is attached to the particular bhakti of a particular devotee, then the Lord will show that by awarding the devotee so specific mercy. You know? Like that. It's interesting. And if the Lord hasn't done that out of his own free will, then make an alternative appropriate arrangement. Our business is to do our duties, to chant Krishna's glories and think of him anyway. And not eat contaminated food, that's for sure. Better to eat fruits, you know, better to eat fruits and yogurt, like that. I asked my god sister, she must be in her mid-50s now, Prabhupada's grandniece, what is the Bengali culture? He said, a lady would stay inside, would not go to the temple, would chant one lakh. I'm liberated from all my work. I don't have to do my work, so I can chant one lakh. It's an opportunity. She said, obstacles to opportunity, we would chant one lakh, stay inside the room, we could wash your husband's cloth, but you can't touch the wet cloth, the dry cloth, she said. And we would chant one lakh. It was an opportunity. Like that. Stay away from everything and everybody, and just chant and absorb yourself internally in the whole name. It was an opportunity. Who's got time to chant one lakh? We should. You know, but it was an opportunity. Now you have 3-4 days to chant one life. Some people have 6 days. 6 days vacation to chant one life. A day. Why not? It makes sense. When she said, I go, that is smart. That is smart. You take an obstacle and turn it into an opportunity. It's interesting because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point in that regard was, physical illness with Hari Bhajan is preferable to physical fitness without Hari Bhajan. So that is a good point. And the girls did that. Smart. Sit and chant, close, to stay in your room. Don't go anywhere and chant one lakh and think of Krishna. You know? And what's interesting about it is Tulsi Rani doesn't care. I've had pramanams about that. My godmother told me about his father. That I saw my father grab his beads night or day, didn't care how dirty he was. Chanted his beads, grabbed his beads and chanted the holy name anyway. So it's interesting. The body can be contaminated, but that doesn't stop. Now, what about the time of death? I have pramanams how Tulsi Rani helps at the time of death. At the time of death, the devotee's body is not exactly fragrant by any means. But Rani doesn't care. Her business is to liberate us. That's her business. So she tolerates everything to give that jiva a boost. And I have the Sanskrit to prove all that. She does amazing things, you know. She does amazing things, better than any mother would ever do. Amazing things to help you get Krishna. And even if you're a selfish rascal, the demons in Vedic culture, we used to worship her anyway. Because at least they know where to get something good. You know, like that. Arbano Hitamitrata. She is worshipped. Tulosi Sevita Punyo Arbano Hitamitrata. You're worshipped by those who have their best interest in heart. Interesting stuff. You know. All the demigods came to greet Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna accepted their greeting. He had finished his duty to purify the planet, fulfill Lord Brahma's desire for him to descend. Now he was closing his pastimes. And the demigods chanted his glories of his birth and activities, because that is association with Lord Krishna. Krishna never leaves you. He's there in his glories. You know? And that will help us see Krishna. It will help us see Krishna through Shastra Chakshusha, through hearing from the ears. Yeah. Orkya. Something else? We need some more questions. Yes, Mother.
It's not an obscure question, which was the text 2 to 3.
Where?
It's last one of the first paragraph.
Which one?
Kinara Sarojita.
Shloka that we were talking about before? Okay, oh, in the last line of Shloka 2, Kanara Apsaro Dvijayi.
Yes.
Dvija means Brahmanas, Dvija means, here in this case, it looks like, well, Vijay. Dvija, the great birds. In the word for word, the great birds. Relatives of Garuda. Here, relatives of Garuda in the translation. Birds. Relatives of Garuda. Twice born, and it's not Brahmanas, it's Dvija. Dvija is also known as birds. Dvijas are also known as birds. They take two birds out of the egg. And so Dvija, birds are known as Dvijas, who take two birds. The relatives of Garuda, you know. It means that he also must have come. And along with his friends, you know, wherever else he tipped off to the news, you know. Wherever else was privy to the news, they also came along for the ride. Yeah, fun, you know. To have anything, be there or be square, you know. Okay, thank you. That's 50-50. Yeah, Prabhu. Well. What brings the surrender? Krishna's arrangement. That's what does it. Krishna's arrangement. He comes. The devotee finally surrenders to the holy name. I'll give you a funny story. We should be careful what we ask for, because we can get it. There was a devotee disciple of Radhana Swami. They were having some Varshana Yatra, and he prayed to her, "Sriji, I have no taste for the holy name. I think you're going to have to give me a real test, you know, like cancer or something like that, to really force it out of there." He went back to Bombay, had a health checkup, and he had full-blown cancer. Yeah. And he left his body. His wife, you know, had a small child. Unfortunately, his extended family took care of him. Be careful what we ask for. We can get it. Next, but there was a girl disciple of Radhana Maharaj named Surapriya. And she was a Marathi girl from Bombay. She says, "I'm really thankful that Krishna came in the form of my cancer. He says, because otherwise I wouldn't say to Hindu housewife, you know, just with my kids and family trying to enjoy my life, and then I would never become serious about Bhagavatam, spiritual master, chanting the holy name. Krishna forced me, by coming in the form of this terminal cancer, forced me to become serious. So what makes us serious is whatever Krishna wants. It's very tricky. Krishna knows our distractions. Krishna knows, and he will, if he wants to, he'll remove it. You know? Now, here's your choice. Are you going to surrender now? Or are you going to hang on, you know, to something feeble, which is ultimately going to be ripped out from you at the time of death? You follow. You're left with, it's a no-brainer. You know, you're left with not much to hold on to. You know? That's an interesting statement. In 10th Canto 88, verse 8. That when I'm especially kind to somebody who wants to enjoy material opulences, and then I take away everything they've got. Their relatives consider themselves to be useless there. You know? And they have only me. That's when I show their great mercy. That's 8 through 11. 8 through 10. Really cool verses. Heavy stuff. So Krishna steals. If he's going to steal it, you know. Prabhupada used to quote his father that God has many hands. If he wants to give you with many hands, with your two hands, how much can you take? And if he wants to steal from you with many hands, with your two hands, how much can you hold back? You know? So basically, our idea is that our prayers to the Lord when we serve him is, please steal my heart somehow or another. And if we help him steal the hearts of others, then he'll steal yours. He'll help you steal yours. It's good. And the more that, then when the thing about it is that the Lord is very kind. Like there's a stotra, the Mrityunjaya stotra. This is what Markandeya Rishi chanted. It's actually in Narasimha Stut, it's Narasimha Puranam, chapter 7. See, what happened was that before the child was born, that Lord Shiva appeared before the sage Kandamuni and his wife. They said, we want a child. All right, I'm pleased by your austerities, so I'll give you two choices. I'll give you a child that's a fool and has a long duration of life, or a child that is a very good boy that has a very short duration of life. What would you like? So Kandamuni talked with his Brahmani, and they said, give us a child for whom we will become proud. And Lord Shiva said, Tathastu, and he left. So the child took his birth, and he was a very good boy. Very educated scholar, very respectful to parents, you know, and devotees. And the parents were pleased, the mother was extremely apprehensive. Maybe this kid is going to leave very soon. Indeed, by his Jyotish, it was stated that he would leave his body at the age of 16. So there are two, this is where the pastime splits. So what do you believe? You believe whichever one your Shraddha has got. The Shaivites, they say, it's probably from Skanda. The Tamil Brahmins say, whatever you want, you can find it in Skanda. You know? Heavily interpolated. That means that Purana is heavily interpolated. So they state that he, at the age of 15, seeing the lamentation of his parents, he says, no, I will pacify you. Ah, I will cheat death. Mother, can I worship Lord Shiva along with Lord Vishnu? Yes, my dear boy. So he was worshiping Lord Shiva. So then he saw Yama coming in the distance at the age of 16. And I was thinking, why has he got to come? You know, for sages' children, then he's got to come personally. It's a big deal. It's a big deal that you got to come personally. You know, he can't delegate it to his Yama tutors or something like that. That was curiosity. I don't know if there's a Tikkacharya to that at all. I'd be curious to find out. He saw Yama coming in the distance, so Markandeya embraces the Shiva Linga. And Lord Shiva comes out with a trisha and goes, you know, and hits Yama around the head and kills him. And then all the demigods go and grants Markandeya a long duration of life like that. And then the demigods go, well, we need a death department. This is no fun. You know, and so he brought Yamaraj back to life, but Yamaraj didn't touch Markandeya. You know? But that's what the Shaivites say. That's cool. The Vaishnavites have a whole other tune. That in Narasimha Puranam, He says, Mother, I will conquer death. But that is not possible. Everybody has to die. Go approach your grandfather, Bhrigu Muni. So he went to the ashram of Bhrigu Muni and fell at the feet of his grandfather. Grandfather, I would like to cheat death. Only Narayana can do that. Where will I find him? Go to such and such forest and do austerities. There you will find Narayana. So he went to the forest following the instructions of his grandfather, Bhrigu, and he did tapasya in that forest, meditating on Narayana. And Narayana came and gave him the Mrityunjaya Stotra. And the end of every line, at the end of every shloka says, am I meditating on Narayana? What do I fear of death? So it's cool. Markandeya is the only one that actually cheated death. He's still alive. Right? But at the end, Phalashruta, at the end of that seventh chapter, it says, anyone who chants this stotra in the morning, noon, and night, Trisantyam, then they will not die untimely. And I thought, well, look at that. Everybody's got to die. But the Supreme Lord will be so kind to you that he'll give you, you know, forewarning. You're going to leave. There's some sadhus and sadhis that actually got that. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he was, you know, externally hale and hearty, doing good. And he calls, 11 o'clock at night, he calls his disciples, hey, assemble everybody for kirtan, I'm leaving. In a half an hour. And they would have, everybody came along, they did kirtan, and then, through his body. Hale and hearty, you know, 81 years old. I'm doing all right, yeah. Call everybody, in a half an hour, I'm leaving. Through the body. So, you're not cheating death, but you'll understand when you're going. You'll have a forewarning of it. You'll be able to prepare it nicely. Hey, bring Tulsi Rani. Hey, bring the Vaishnavas. Hey, bring the deities, you know. Bring, you know. And let's chant the holy name and have a party. Yeah, I'm leaving. Interesting stuff. So I've got to, so it's Mrityunjaya Stotra. Mrityunjaya, that which gives the victory over death. So, all right, is that a victory over death? Some people would say no, but other people would say yes, because you have to die anyway. If the Lord is so kind to tell you when you're going to go, at least you get a chance to prepare for it, you know, by calling your buddies and having some care time. You will not die untimely. You will not die in the middle of an accident. You will not die. And Ganga Smarana was the same thing. Ganga Sahasranam says, if you will chant 1,000 names of Ganga Devi, then you can die anywhere. It is just as good as if you died in the bank of the Ganga. And you can leave your village and go anywhere for your economic development, and you will come back safely by Ganga Devi's grace. She will always be with you. So, yeah. So whether it's Ganga Sahasranam, Yamuna Sahasranam, like that, it's the Lord is always with you for those who chant the glories. The Lord is constantly with you when you chant the glories. Yeah. Death is sure. The Lord is kind. Sometimes He gives you forewarning, you know. Yes, Prabhuji? I never heard that. I never heard that, if that was in the Tikacharya's comments or whatever. In the 10th canto, chapter 5, is when Krishna's Mukhanchor pastimes are delineated. They said to Mother Yasoda that if we give it to him voluntarily, he's not happy, he wants to steal it. And the idea of it is that I didn't see the tikkas, but my gut intuition told me that if that kid steals it, you're not going to forget that kid. You know who did it? It was the hard work of those ladies. I mean, it wasn't a joke. It wasn't factory produced, man. They had to do it. One devotee, one Vaishnavi asked me, but I can't understand it. When they make ghee out of yogurt, it doesn't have the bad cholesterol. If they make ghee out of cream, it does. How do they make ghee out of yogurt? And I said, with determination. And a lot of hard work. Those ladies would take yogurt. And evidently the enzymes in the yogurt, it goes into the butter fat, you know. And when they churn it, really, really high speed, hard work. Then when they churn that yogurt and they get the makkhan, the butter out of that, then the rest is chas. It's like buttermilk. And it's really healthy stuff. Either way, it's healthy. It's very interesting. And, you know, the girls are not going to put, you know, they're not going to get fat or whatever. You know, they'll definitely lose weight, you know. And what was interesting was Mother Yasoda, at the time of churning, she used to have the Brahmanis put Krishna's glories in kavitas. She would sing at the same time while you're churning. I thought, that is heavy. You know, if anybody's ever seen a lady churning butter the traditional way from yogurt, man, those hands are moving like the wind, you know. Now they put a belt on it, they put an electric motor on it, you know, they even got electric motors for grinding orad dal and rice, you know, for making idlis now or something, you know, like that, you know. But there is still a satisfaction in doing something the hard way. I mean, even at the very end, you're checking it, if it's not fine, then you got to grind it by yourself or something like this. You know, it's nice. There is a satisfaction in doing something the old way, you know, like that. But Mother Yasoda was chanting Krishna's glories anyway. Now, you can imagine the hardest hard work, and you're sweating like a dog, and you're moving like your arms like anything, you know, back and forth, like anything, and you're still chanting Krishna's glories? Wait a minute. We don't have an excuse. You know, we should, in any work, we should chant Krishna's glories while we do the work. We don't have an excuse, you know. But I never heard that. You know, they said in the Bhagavatam that if we voluntarily offer it, he's not happy. He wants to steal it. My gut feeling was that if that kid steals it, you're not going to forget that kid. And that's what he wanted. Don't forget me, yeah. Anything that helps you not to forget me is a pretty good deal, you know. If Krishna wants to steal it, then yeah. I always sing of that love, whether love in the kitchen or love for any item. Your love should be so great that Krishna will steal it before you offer it. That's real love. In my days, 30 years ago, cooking was for perfection. If it's not stolen, it's not good enough. You got off the altar, it was gone. You know, you made it with a deity prep on the bowl, deity prep in the kitchen, gone. That was the gold medal. If it was gone, then it was good. Silver medal, still in the kitchen, not good enough, nobody stole it. Then how should I prove it still? You know, you should improve it. The bronze medal was, you made it for the Sunday feast and it was gone. Nothing left over for the stragglers. I'm sorry. You know? But then we had other stuff. You know? If it was enough of them, enough of the stragglers, then we had other, cooks had other dry goods, other emergencies, other quickies that we would do. We would offer the deities. Hey, we got 900 more people before the offering. What the hell are you going to do? You know, we're going to do fasties, you know? And every cook had his fasties, you know, what to do. And if there's somebody there, well then, if we had jokes that if we only got a few people, then you got to stretch it. Then add water. The lassi gets stretched, the dal gets stretched, the sabji gets stretched, just add water, you know. Just add water, stretch it, you know. You know, and distribute the prasadam to a few people, like that. That was for a few people, we'll stretch it by throwing water. If there's more than that, then what are we going to do? We're going to make some fasties and offer it to Vaishvanara, you know, the Lord of the Fire of Digestion. It means we're offering it to Gornatai or some picture like that. If it missed the altar, it was meant for the altar, meant for the plate. They spaced it out, forgot to put it on the plate, whatever it's called. Vaishvanara Arpanam. It was offered to Vaishvanara, the Lord of the Fire of Digestion. We had all types of jokes in those days, you know. The map was called the Virat Rupa. All types of jokes in those days, you know. Those were real fun days, you know. The perfection was, it's gone. If there's no fire and no desire, you take one bite and it roars. Ha! You know? That is cooking. If it's not, then you fail. It's like writing. The first sentence, you better catch that crowd by the first sentence. The opening sentence is not a shocker. If it doesn't grab their attention, you fail. It's like writing. Jayadvaita Swami says it's like a pyramid. You could write it. You have your lead. You have your chain. And if you don't have space in the article, you can chop it off stick on the end and it'll be fine. You know? That was what writing was. If you didn't catch them in the beginning, you lost. If you didn't, if they have no fire and no desire, they take one bite and, wow, what was that? That was cooking. Because the dravya always changes and it's always lousy in Kali Yuga. And always going downhill. The love has got to be good. Another thing we had to learn is multi-manifestation. You get the same thing donated from the boga market. You get crates and crates of bananas. What are you going to do with them? You know, like now they got crates and crates of ripe banana. What are you going to do with them? Banana bread. Just make a lot of banana bread. You know? Like that's what we used to do with crates and crates of ripe bananas. What are you going to do with them? Banana bread, you know. Banana chutney, banana bread, banana lassi, banana, bananas in milk, bananas everywhere, you know. Plenty of stuff, you know. Bananas everywhere. Hey, there's another trick to do with bananas. You take bananas and you put it in the sugar water for the halwa. It blows up 50% more. Don't ask me why. It must be the acid in the banana. But it blows the grains up 50% more. You can make a batch without it, make a batch with, and you'll see it. And we used to throw it in the beginning. Just like you threw an eggplant in the middle, in the beginning of the khichdi. You know, you're making a khichdi, the hard stuff first. And you throw in an eggplant. And it merges. Shoo! It becomes like butter. An eggplant in the beginning of the khichdi becomes, the whole khichdi has a butter consistency. Yeah. You know? And the eggplant completely merged. I could never get it. And I would ask the Bengalis, that if begun means no qualities, why are the Bengalis mad after it? You know? It's like, it means no qualities now. It's a useless thing, but why are they mad after it? You know, 'tis folly to be wise where ignorance is bliss. You know? It's very interesting stuff. But every cook had its fasties, and every cook goes, all right, we got inundated with all this stuff. What are we going to do with them? You know, you have to crack your brain to know like 5 or 6 or 10 preparations to do with the same old stupid item. You know, and it ain't going to get wasted. We're going to use it for Krishna, and we're going to crack our brain and use many, many different ways to do it. First of all, why should the bananas get ripe? Before they get ripe, we will freeze them and put them through a machine, and we'll cut them into pieces and fry them up. And to make banana chips, you know, like that. Banana chips, banana chutney, banana, you know. Same with the mangoes, you know, during Queensland, you know, you have green mango drink, you know. You have green mango muraba, you have green mango chutney, you got mango pickles, you got mango, you got, because you're going to have mango squirting out your ears, you know, so you got to figure out what to do with them, you know, before they get ripe, you got to do something with them, you know. You got to crack your brain and do it. And irregardless of what you do, it better be good. And if it isn't good, you failed. You know? And perfection meant it was stolen. And if it's not stolen, why? And if you made too much, what the hell did you do? The preparation's left over. Why is it left over? You know? These were the good old days. We cook for perfection. We wanted Krishna to steal it. If your love is so great, Krishna will steal it before you offer it. That is big. I've had samples. I mention it about offering the deity some jewelry. I mention it. That if you want to offer something to the neck of the Supreme Lord, he'll facilitate it. He'll even send his courier to collect it. When I was in Moscow, I thought, how am I going to get this to the Lord's neck? He arranged it. You know, he arranged everything. He sent his courier also. And that was cool. When he sent his courier, I thought, hey, this is big. You know, millions of people in that city, and I'm in a queue to buy a train ticket, and it just so happens that there's a devotee in the train, happens to be a devotee from that island, going home to see his parents in 3 days. Yeah, you know. Krishna sent his courier. It's obvious, you know. You wanted to give it to the Lord's neck, Krishna sent his courier. He's going to bring it, you know. You want to give something to Krishna? Prabhupada said Krishna is hungry proportionate to the greed to give it to him. When you're greedy to give it to him, then he's greedy to take it. So that's what we have to do. We'll stop right here. Prabhupada, what do you got to do? You got to read and make an announcement? What's happening? Oh, then you got an announcement time. Something like that. That is announcement time. Meanwhile, we got an announcement from our sponsor here. You know, here's a message from our sponsor. And God we trust. Others pay cash. You know? Whatever it is. Hey, has anybody got a burning one? We've got 7 minutes left. Is any burning question left that I can serve the devotees?
Yeah.
And disappearance as Krishna and then all the incarnations, as well as all the devotees, the living dynasty, plus all of the living entities within the creation. So it looks very amazing that he alone is having all that. So would you like to comment on that?
Everything is done with Krishna. Krishna does everything. Yat kratam yat karasyami tat sarvang yan mayagratam tvayagratam tufalabho tameva manusudana. This, you won't find this in the Mukundamala Stotra in the BBT edition. This is the southern declension. Whatever I can do or will ever be able to do is not done by me but by you. Krishna is the Karaka. He does everything. It says in the Bhagavad Gita that the five factors of action, that anybody who doesn't consider the five factors of action is unintelligent. All you have to do is just have a desire. And Krishna gives everything. The butter, the fire, the offering gives you the brains, the intelligence. All we got to do is supply the initiative. We got to get off our duffer and do it. You know? And Krishna does the rest. It's nice. And it's not the dravya, it's the love. By chanting Krishna's name and thinking of Krishna at the same time while you work, then it becomes paribhavita. We have to upgrade it. Any work we do, if we're not chanting Krishna's name and thinking of Krishna at the same time we do it, we have to upgrade it. We have to upgrade it. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to ask a question. I've asked this question before, but I don't think you'll be able to answer it. In the Bhagavad Gita, after the foreword, gives the cyclic succession coming from Brahma, which is the one from the heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one that's discussed in the Bhagavad Gita is the one that's part of the
Guru. Right, right. So what's the question?
It also suggests that, well, I'm wondering why the one that's from the Bhagavad Gita is in the Bhagavad Gita, the one that's spoken about by Krishna in the Gita is the one that's passed from the Guru, and he assumes the first disciple passed on to the Guru.
So what's the question?
So why don't we have that discipline?
There's another one. Do you know? There's even a Shiksha disciple line. See, besides the Diksha line that's mentioned, take Bhaktisiddhanta's Brahma Hoite Chaturmukha. That disciple succession he's mentioning there. That's there in the bhajan by Bhaktisiddhanta. But there is another one. It's a Shiksha line. There is a Shiksha line that comes. The Shiksha is coming through a Shiksha line. And Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan, in the first shloka of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj glorified the Shiksha Gurus and the Diksha Gurus as both as equal representatives of Krishna. So if you take that, there's even another one.
I realize that to stand today, but what I'm talking about, there's two ways that Krishna can speak to you, via the heart or via the Guru. There's two ways.
All right. So, what's the question?
Well, I'm wondering why the one that's spoken about in the Gita is not after the foreword. The one that's spoken about in the Bhagavatam is in the foreword for the Gita.
Except them both, I would not be bewildered by it. Why did they do this?
I'm not saying it's bewildering to me, but what I'm saying is to anybody reading the Gita, the logical thing is he's speaking about the disciplic succession. Should follow it from Arjuna. Again, we've got it coming from Brahma, so we've got the one from the heart rather than the one from the Guru, which is the one that Krishna is speaking directly from him.
It's to purify the public. The public will, you know, anything that will push you towards Krishna is very good, you know. So even a sankshay, even a doubt that pushes you to Krishna is very good. And there's more ways to skin an apple, you know. There's more way to skin a mango. And the thing about it is that Krishna comes through his representatives. Even the Shiksha Sampradaya has a whole parampara. It goes to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it goes to Krishna Charan Chakravarti, it goes to, you know, like that. You know, so many different. The Shiksha line goes through so many Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, you know, like that. So, they may not be in the disciplined succession, but they hold it together, you know. Between one prominent acharya and another, like Jagannath Das, Babaji Maasai, to Baladev Vidyabhushan, is a big jump, really. You're talking about a good 150 years between Baladev Vidyabhushan and Vishwanath. Yeah, and Vishwanath also had Krishnacharya and Chakravarti and others also, you know. So it goes, so there's always some discrepancies in the line a little bit, you know. And some people say that Madhvacharya, you know, that Vyasadeva, he went personally to Bhadrakashram and he was instructed by Vyasa personally. That's, I mean, we can't disprove that. Follow. We're small timers, we can't disprove it. So we have to accept. Like that, it's hard to do research to disprove that kind of thing. You know, you're not your mother's son. You know, then how are you going to prove it? You know, it's tough. You know, it's tough to do these things. KISS, keep it simple, stupid. You know, it's better to better not to worry about these kind of things. You know, in one sense, it's better. It is a detail. It is not such an important thing like that, huh? The bottom line is, if your spiritual master is help pushing you to get to reach Lord Krishna, then accept that instruction and follow that, you know. And he's got the order coming down from his spiritual masters like that. So that's basically what it is. And how far are you going to go? You're going to go back maybe to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like that. Basically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's tikkas is pretty powerful. As Bhaktisiddhanta's tikkas are pretty powerful. And sometimes you go back to the six Goswamis. You have the tikka of Rupa, the tikka of Vishwanath, you've got tikka of Jiva. No. And further you go to Vairagava Acharya, you go to Subodhani tikka of Balabha, you go to ultimately the tikka Acharya is Sridhar Swami's Bhavartha Dipika. Like that. So, difficult stuff. Like my godbrother, you know, my godbrother, I was discussing with him just now, and he just said, you know, we compared manuscripts, there's so much difficulties. One manuscript is better than others. The bottom line is Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitta Tekari Aikir. You know, accept what our spiritual master gave, and everything else is difficult, you know. From scholarship points of view, it's difficult stuff. Yeah, we accept that. Yeah. But nectar means we want it and we want it yesterday. You know? Nectar means it's not going to stop you from learning nectar. But do understand that the scholars have not agreed that that's the end of it. You know? The scholars don't agree that it's the end of it. All right. Scholars will have differences of opinion. Let them have differences of opinion. I want to memorize my shlokas right now. That's what I got to do. Sure, let the scholars, okay, you boys, fight it out amongst yourself, you know, duke it out amongst yourself. Okay, fine, you know. In the meantime, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to memorize what I want to memorize now. So I think it's a detail, not a specific thing. We got to stop. It is 9:03. Have a nice day. Hare Krishna.